Passage this morning we're going to look at is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 40. Short passage. This is from the prophet Jeremiah. For those of you who don't know who wrote Lamentations, now you know, you get that for free. Is what the Word of God says. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. This past week, I had an exam. When I was in school, I used to take exams, and sometimes I used to give exams. Now, this was a different kind of an exam. Every 3 months, I've been going in to see the doctor. He's all concerned about my lipids. And I wasn't concerned about my lipids because I didn't know I had lipids. Anyway, so I went in for my regular physical. Now we're back to 6 months. I'm on a six-month thing. I'm hoping for annual and then maybe decade doctor visits. But anyway, I went in for a doctor visit. And you've all been there, done this, right? There are certain things that you do. I mean, you go in to see the doctor. Well, first of all, they check your height and weight. Sometimes that can be shocking. I'm not getting any taller. I'll announce that right now. What they're looking for are signs of growth or shrinkage, which could be good too. And then they check your temperature and your pulse rate and your blood pressure. That's what they do to me. And what they're looking for is internal wellness. They want to see what's going on, you know, on the inside, whether things are like they should be. And then he takes his ice-cold stethoscope, checks back, front, and all around breathing. Checks your respiration. So what they're really looking for is an unrestricted airway. Make sure everything in there is like it ought to be, and the air is going in and out like it should, and there's not stuff in the way. And then what my doctor's been doing lately, I always have to go in the week before and have blood taken, and then they do a screening of the blood, and he wants to check my lipids. That's good and bad cholesterol and triglycerides and stuff like that. I would call those things lifestyle residue. That's stuff that's left in there. You know, you can change your lifestyle. You can change your eating habits, and you can get more exercise, and you can affect those numbers. And so that's what we're trying to do. Without using some kind of drug, we're trying to get those numbers fixed. And they're going in the right direction they're supposed to go through the past year. So yay for that. Okay, but that's a kind of an exam that I took last week. And this scripture says, let us examine our ways. It's about an exam. All right? So I think what we can do is we can kind of take the natural thing, the experience that I just had, we can find some spiritual application for it. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to look, first of all, at a spiritual life sign or life vital sign examination. We're going to look at that first. The scripture says, let us examine our ways. Right? Not examine our faces or examine our height and weight, but examine our ways. And that's like our dues, right? The things that we do. Examine the things that we do. And so if you're looking for signs of growth, now we're looking for spiritual things. We're looking at our spiritual self, our spiritual life, and we're looking for signs of growth. Well, I thought, well, what do you look for? Where do you look to see signs of spiritual growth? Well, I thought of several things. Worship, discipleship, ministry, fellowship, those might be areas that we would look at. So worship, what would be a way to kind of gauge your position on a scale? Where are you as far as worship is concerned? So first of all, is worship something you come to once a week, or is it part of your daily lifestyle? As you grow in the Lord, as you grow spiritually, worship becomes something that is your life, not just something that you go to. Is worship something you watch, or is it something you do? For a long time, when Vicki and I were young Christians, even before we were Christians, we were doing church music. That's kind of a sad commentary, but true nevertheless. But anyway, as we came to the Lord and we were involved in the church, we were in a very, very traditional kind of liturgical sort of church. And I was the choir director and Vicki was the organist and that sort of thing. And basically everything that had anything to do with worship took place up on the platform. And the people watched it happen. It was like going to a basketball game. Worship was something that people watched, not something that people did. Well, when we became worshipers, All that changed. Other people started to become worshipers. There was a real move of God in the town where we lived. And people changed from being observers of worship to being worshipers themselves. And you talk about the spiritual temperature going up. That made all the difference in the world. So, is it something you watch or something you do? We need to be moving in the direction of something you do. And here's a question. The scripture teaches us that God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. As we begin to praise God, when we sang that third song, the Spirit of God was just filling this place. God was inhabiting the praises of his people. And so that's a question. Does it seem that God inhabits your praises? Are the songs just songs? Are they filled with the power of the Spirit and the presence of God? Now, when you come together and you pray with your friends, is God in the midst of that? Is God inhabiting that? You know what I'm saying? See, that's a gauge. You know, I think sometimes we kind of go up and down on a curve with that kind of thing. You know, sometimes we feel really close to God and the presence of God is just so real. And then at other times in our life, it seems like that sort of, it's not quite that way. We want to get those high peaks closer together as we grow spiritually. And so we're looking for signs of growth, you know, checking your height and weight as far as your spiritual condition is concerned. This is one of the things we can look at. We can look at our worship. I think that's probably the clearest example. Going on to discipleship, here are the questions you might ask yourself. These are self-examination questions. Are you ingesting God's Word? Are you ingesting God's Word? You know, God's Word is something that you have to take in. You kind of have to chew on. You know, it's got to become part of you. That's ingesting God's Word. It gets to the place where it's not just a book on the shelf. It's not just something the pastor reads. It's not even something that you study in Sunday school, but it's something that becomes part of your thinking, the basis of how you view life. So, are you ingesting God's Word? Number two, is your worldview being converted? Is God's Word beginning to change the way you not only see yourself, but the way you see everything? Do you see the hand of God in everything? Is it changing your view, your position on the world itself? Because it will. God will change everything about your life. He will convert everything about your life. So these are things that you ought to be looking for to see it happening. And then the third thing is your character becoming more like Jesus? I've talked about that a lot. That's what God says is his purpose in saving you. It's so that your character can become like the character of God. See, we were created in the image of God, but then mankind fell into sin. And so that image of God became all distorted and corrupted in man. But God's purpose is to restore that image in us. And so that means that we should be taking on the character of God. Is that happening? That's under the heading of discipleship. That's what discipleship is about, is making us more like Jesus. And then ministry. Ministry. We're just looking at self here and we're saying, is the cause of Christ becoming my cause? Have I taken the cause of Christ to be my cause? Do you see God's purpose in your day job? Some of you don't have a day job anymore, but you're doing something. Do you see God's purpose in it? Is God's purpose there or is it just here? You know what I'm saying? Does it go with you where you go? Does God have you there for his reason, for his purpose? Which he does, by the way. But sometimes we don't see that. We don't think of it that way. But as we grow spiritually, then we should begin to see it that way. Tried to get to a ball game last week. Didn't happen. Went the week before. But, you know, sitting in the stands isn't a whole lot of fun for me. It's a lot better to be in the game. And that's something about your spiritual life. Are you sitting in the stands or are you playing the game? So that's a way to look at your ministry. Where are you in your spiritual walk as far as your ministry is concerned? Are you sitting in the stands watching it happen? Or are you actually in the game? Playing it. It's more fun when you play it, isn't it? It's more fun to play than watch. Particularly true of baseball. All right. And then the fourth thing that I had there is fellowship. We sang the song, I am a friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Does God call you friend? Boy, that's important. It's important that that be the case. That's what it says in that song. It says, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Boy, that's where you want to be. See, that moves you up to another spiritual level, doesn't it, in your growth? To know that you are a friend of God and He calls you friend. Here's another question. Are you a friend of God's friends? What's your relationship with other Christians? Are you a friend of God's friends? Do you like to hang around with God's friends? Or would you rather hang around with other people? You know what I'm saying? We need to be a friend of God, and we need to be a friend of God's friends. We're going to spend eternity with them, right? So the question comes down to this. With whom do you share your life? You know, when the Bible uses the word fellowship, we talk about having fellowship dinners and fellowship this and fellowship that. Christians use that word all the time. In fact, that's how you can tell people who are Christians from not. They use the word fellowship. Nobody else does. They hear it in church. But when the Bible uses that word, it means to share your life with. When you have fellowship with somebody, it means you're willing to share your life with that person. You and that person live your lives together. That's what it means to have fellowship in the body of Christ. We live our lives together. So, with whom do you share your life? I mean, we're looking at where we really are right now. Who are we spending our time with? Who are we sharing our life with? Is it friends of God? Friends of God's friends? You know, I mean, is that where we are? So, those are signs of growth. And you can look at those things as an individual, as a Christian. You can look at those things as they apply to the whole church. But those are just good ways to kind of get a gauge on where you are and how you're doing. Just like a doctor, when you come in, you know, he wants to check a few things to see, you know, what's going on in you, because he doesn't know. This is a way to examine your ways. Scripture says that that's what we should do. When it comes to checking your spiritual temperature or blood pressure or pulse rate, you're looking for your internal wellness. Check your spiritual temperature, blood pressure, pulse rate, that kind of stuff. When I thought about that, you know, I kind of prayed about that, you know, what should we be looking for? And the thing that came to my mind was the fruit of the Spirit. If we want to know what's really going on in us, we need to look for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I've talked about the fruit of the Spirit before, and the important thing for you to understand about this is that you do not grow these things. You do not produce these things. They're not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Bob likes to grow things. Not to look at. To eat, right? He came over to my house. He says, don't you ever grow anything you can eat? Yeah, if you want to eat roses. You But you know, Bob grows all kinds of stuff at his house, right? He grows oranges, right? He grows beans. He grows horses. He grows horses. But you know what? That's really not true. Bob doesn't grow oranges, does he? Bob can't produce an orange, not one. Can you? I can't either. Neither can my tree for some reason. Now, Bob can nurture the orange tree, but the orange is going to get produced by an orange tree. You're not going to get an orange any other way. See, the fruit of the Spirit is like that. You can nurture it and cultivate it a little bit in your own life, but the Spirit grows the fruit of the Spirit. And so, you know, that's a very important thing for us to understand. But you look at these things, love, joy, peace. Boy, those are things that we'd like to have our life full of. love, joy, peace. The Holy Spirit, if He's at work in you, is going to be producing those things in your life. Patience, kindness, goodness. Those are great character traits. And the Holy Spirit, if He's at work in you, if you're walking according to the Spirit, you see, He will produce those things in your life because that's what He does. That's the fruit that the Spirit produces. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things the Spirit will be producing. So we can say, well, I wonder if the Spirit's really at work in me. Well, how can we tell? Are we seeing more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our life? If we're seeing that in increasing amount, then the answer is yes. Because only the Holy Spirit can produce those things in you. And I'll just give you a little tip. Those things are the character of Jesus. That's the character of Christ being built in you right there. The Holy Spirit wants to do that in you. So you can examine yourself to see, you know, where are we on those things? And I have to put a few check marks by some of those in my book, you know. But it's not something I can fix. I can only fix it by yielding more of myself to the Holy Spirit. Because I can't produce those things. They're not the fruit of the flesh. In fact, if you go to Galatians and you look and see what the flesh produces, we don't want any of that. I don't want any more of that. Okay? These are the things I want more of. So I've got to yield myself to the Spirit. So that tells me how I'm doing in that regard. All right? Now, respiration. I think it's interesting. And we talk about breathing. The word breath in the Scripture, Old and New Testament, the word that's used for breath is the same word that's used for spirit. So there's an equivalency between those two things in the Scripture. You have to kind of look at the context to see which one they're talking about. Are they talking about the spirit or are they talking about breath? So there's a good thing to look at here. We can say, well, let's check our breathing. Let's check our spiritual respiration. And let's see, how are we doing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit? What the doctor's listening for is he's listening to see if there's anything there in your lungs or any of your airway that's restricting the airflow. And if there is, he's going to be able to hear it. So I would ask you this. Is there anything in your relationship with God right now that's restricting or blocking the Holy Spirit in your life? That would be places where there are things in your life that you need to get rid of and you just don't. Those kinds of things that keep the Holy Spirit from having free reign in your life to guide your steps and to bring you illumination, understanding of His Word, and to give you the gifts of the Spirit that you need and to give you the power that you need and the faithfulness that you need. All this fruit. Is there anything in your life that's blocking that? Because you know what the doctor would do in the physical. If there was something blocking there, he would try to eliminate it one way or another, whatever it is. He would try to open up that airway so you didn't have that restriction. So that's kind of what we need to do in our life when we examine our ways. We look and see if there's anything in there that's blocking us, that's holding us back, and then we get rid of that. You know, the most fundamental question when it comes to the Holy Spirit is this question. Have you been born again? Back there in John chapter 3 where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. That was the thing he talked to Nicodemus about. Do you remember that? He said, don't you know that you must be born again? That's the starting place in the Christian life. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, so that would be the fundamental question. Here's a better question for believers. Are you familiar with the Spirit's still small voice? Are you familiar with that voice? You know, that's one of those things you cannot explain it to anybody else. But you know it when you hear it, if you know the Holy Spirit. Right? And you have to know that in order for Him to guide you. Because you have to be able to tell it from all the clamor of the other voices that you hear. You know, there's all kinds of clamor, there's all kinds of voices trying to get your attention. And so you need to be able to recognize His voice. And if you recognize it, do you trust it? Do you follow it? That's how we examine our life. I was thinking about tests because it goes on and it says, let us examine our ways and test them. We've got enough teachers in this room that there's plenty of people that have experience writing and giving tests. Did you ever wonder why you had to take so many tests? Coming through school, it'd be amazing if we could go back to first grade and see all of the tests that we took. Boy, we took a lot of tests. Anyway, tests serve a purpose. I would hope that if you're a teacher and you're writing a test, that you would put on that test the things that are important. You know, we teach kids a lot of things. We talk about a lot of things in class, but we don't necessarily want to test them on everything. You test them on the things that they really, really need to know. You know, I had a professor, he actually put on a test, something from our textbook. We never talked about it in class. It was never mentioned even one time. It was the caption underneath a picture in our textbook. And he put a test question about that. I thought, that's not very smart. Nobody's going to remember that tomorrow anyway. And I still don't remember it, so didn't do any good. The reason for testing is to see if you're learning the important things. There are some things that are essential for us to know, and spiritually that's true as well. There's some things in God's Word that we need to know. And so testing is one way to see if you're learning those important things. Teachers give tests so they can accurately assess your progress or your achievement and measure it by an objective standard. If you've ever been in a classroom, you know, there are always those students that they just seem like they're getting it. You know, they look alert. They're sitting there taking notes. But when you give them a test, you find out they must have been writing letters to their Aunt Telly or something. You know, they were not listening. So you can't go by the way things seem, and you can't go by the way it feels. A test is objective, and you can actually, you know, find out really how you're doing. Well, the teacher can find that out, and so can the student. It's important for the students to know that, too. You know, a lot of students, they think they're doing really well and find out that they're not when they take a test. Some students are always afraid they're not doing well. But then when they get the test, they find, hey, I know all the stuff on this test. Shockaroo, I'm doing okay. You know, so those are the reasons to take tests. A test will affirm your strengths and reveal your weaknesses. That's what tests will do. And spiritual tests would do that too, of course. It helps you to see if adjustments are required in your life. And if so, what adjustments? What adjustments need to be made? And, you know, another point about taking a test is this. It provides you a point for a new start. You can always say, well, I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. We have to do that sometimes in this Christian life, don't we? You know, we fall on our face, we fail the test. You know, some way or other, we just don't do what we should have done, but we can pick ourselves back up. The Lord will actually pick us back up, set us on our feet, get us back on course. And the idea is to do better the next time, right? There's something to that. Remember, you're probably not as spiritually healthy as you could be. Everybody in this room, you're probably not as spiritually healthy as you could be. But is there evidence of growth? Because if there's evidence of growth, then you should be encouraged because that means you're alive. Right? That's important. In Luke 5:31, it says this. This was Jesus. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. And so, you know, Jesus isn't going around looking for people who are perfect, but he's looking for people who will follow him. You see, he's calling sinners to repentance. That's the purpose here. So you continue to run to Jesus, who's the great physician, who came not for those who think they're alive and well, but for those who know they need a doctor. All right, so that's where we are. Now, this is important. Because when you're evaluating yourself, when you're looking at yourself and examining yourself, you know what we do most of the time? I mean, people that really get sincere about this and start looking at it, we examine our life, and a lot of people do this before they take communion. They examine their life looking for sin. Boy, that's not hard. That's not a hard test. You can find that. That's not what you're looking for. That's not what we're examining for. Here's what you examine for. You're looking for faith. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for faith. In our relationship with God, our dues flow from our trusts. If we don't trust God, we're not going to follow God. It begins with faith. For Christians, real growth always reveals itself as an increase in faith. That means the ability to trust God longer. All right, when we're faced with a situation that we just can't do anything about it, we've got to trust God. How long can you trust God? How long do you go before you give up on God? See, that's a measure of your faith, isn't it? The greater your faith, the longer and more you're going to be able to trust God and not depend on self or depend on others or depend on whatever. You're trusting God. I want you to look at the cover of your bulletin. That graphic's been on the cover of the bulletin now for a month. And it's a picture of being in the hand of God. That's a tree that's planted. This is not much of a tree right now, but it's in the hand of God. That's where you grow. We talked about that weeks ago. But the scripture underneath is from Jeremiah. Same guy that wrote the one that we read today. And it says, blessed is the man who does what? Trusts in God. You see, that's where your blessing comes from. From trusting in God. So what you're looking for, that's your spiritual condition, is how much do you trust God? All right? That faith that you have, that is basic. And this is what the scripture says. I'm not going to read all the scriptures to you, but this is what the scripture teaches us. It's through faith that we're saved. It's through faith that we are justified, that God sees us as righteous. It's because of our faith in Christ. It's by faith that we stand. We can't stand firm except by faith. And it's by faith that we walk. So we stand by faith and we walk by faith, not by sight. Scripture makes that very clear. And it's by faith that we receive the Holy Spirit. I think you got references up there. You can jot those down if you want to. Listen, here's the whole thing. It says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. You see, that's the consequence. You've taken your exam. You've looked at yourself. Now, what do you need to do? You need to turn back to God. We exercise or we practice our faith by turning to God. I'll give you the background of this passage. I don't have a whole lot of time here, but I'll give you a little bit of the background of this passage. Jeremiah was a prophet during the time of the Babylonian captivity. Remember, the Babylonians came in. They came into the southern kingdom, and they took all the people that they considered to be important, smart, whatever, useful people. They took all those people. They took them to Babylon. Daniel was one of those, and his friends went with him. They took all the good stuff out of the temple, and they took that to Babylon, and then they burned the temple, and the temple just fell into a pile of rubble. So basically, there was nobody left in Judea except just the people that the Babylonians didn't think were worth anything. The temple was gone. It was a hopeless situation. And Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, he was left behind. Now, I'm sure he didn't want to go to Babylon into exile, but he didn't want to be left behind either. His people were gone. His family was gone. His friends were gone. His ministry was essentially over. And so to the people who were left, He says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. You see, the natural reaction to all of that stuff happening would be to get angry with God, to say, God has forgotten all about us. God has rejected us. God doesn't care. He won't help us. That's the natural thing to do. But you see, Jeremiah was a man of faith. He was a man who trusted God, even in that kind of situation. And so, to the few stragglers who were left, he says, listen, the problem isn't God. Let's examine ourselves. Let's test our ways. And let's turn back to the Lord. He didn't say, let's look at God and let's test God's ways. He said, let's check ours. And that's the message. Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is number one. Let's make sure that it's the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that we're listening to and that we're following. That it's not the clamor of the world that's moving us along, but it's God Himself that's moving us along because we're His people. And He's called us to follow Him. Lord, Your disciples came to You and they said, Lord, increase our faith. As Your disciples, we know we have the same need. Lord, I pray this morning that You would increase our faith. Help us, Lord, to trust You no matter how things may seem, no matter how things may feel, because You are God and You do not change. Amen.